issue, you can't change it. I was president of Commonwealth is still probably as worse as it was. Now, if I went there, I said I wanted to go and change the whole. No, there's no way you can change the whole. When I was leaving, they were still doing those rituals. Yeah. Are they still doing it? They're still doing it. Okay.
Daddy, please, I want to ask, in Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisee came to Jesus and asked for a sign. And Jesus said, the only sign that you receive is the sign of Jonah. And Jonah was telling the people to repent and all that stuff. And Jesus called Matthew 6 something. He called his disciples, gave them authority to preach that this will be the end. When you preach the gospel, that repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Mas Moro was teaching that the end will be when we decide to preach the gospel, not the signs that we see nowadays, like false prophets and those things. Like he was saying that the end will be when we decide, like, to preach the gospel. Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Okay, I think I get what you are saying. Like, Jesus said that, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness, and then the end shall come. Yeah, so maybe that's what he was referring to, that it is, that's when you see that the end will come, when the gospel of the kingdom is being preached in all the nations, which is true, because now we have seen almost all the signs. Nation rising against nation, you know, earthquakes, pestilences here and there. We have seen all those things. And yet the end has not come. He was specific. He said that when you see these things, it's not the end yet. The end must come. Then verse 12 or 13 or 14 said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness in all the nations, and then the end shall come. Now, this gospel of the kingdom being preached in all nations, well, we don't know what is happening now, whether it has been preached in all nations as a witness to them, or whether there's going to come a special people who are going to go around the whole nation to talk about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom and all that. But he was certainly referring to the end time, when the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the cross is the same thing. It's the same thing. You see, the same thing. It's the same thing. The difference is that the kingdom, when we are talking about maybe the end time, talking about the coming of Jesus, that's different. But if you talk about the cross, I'm talking about the kingdom also. There's no special difference between the two. Like we sometimes say that, oh, the kingdom is like talking about prosperity or this or that. It's all part of the cross. It's the cross of Jesus which brought all these things. Do you understand? But when we say the kingdom, we are talking about how God, Jesus, is Lord. So we can say the gospel of Jesus is Savior and Jesus is Lord. Simple. So now he is Lord. When I preach the gospel and I preach with signs and wonders, I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When I demonstrate that Jesus is Lord, not a Savior, he's still alive, he's Lord. I'm preaching the cross. At the same time, it's the kingdom I'm demonstrating. I don't know whether you get it.
And Gloria was asking that, so where is AD now? Is it? And I heard some people saying that, oh, AD in Christ still now in South Africa. But Daddy, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord made AD. Like,
yeah.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, like, God is there.
Yeah.
So believe that the Spirit of the Lord maybe as I said, but the Spirit of the Lord made Aiden like.
Yeah, actually, Aiden was a spot on this earth. Yeah, but I believe that when God drove them out, you know, now we can't find it. Now it's not there. Like I said, the tree of life was taken up. So now Aiden, we can say is paradise. You know, we can say that Aiden went down to become the paradise. The paradise. You know, the paradise, Abel was the first person to go there. You know, so maybe this Eden was taken down there to become paradise. But the most important is that it wasn't just geographical, it was also spiritual. The presence of God. That was what gave the garden its beauty, its ambience, everything. People say that it's in Iraq. Yeah, people say that it's in Iraq. But there's no evidence on that.
Thank you.
Okay, Daddy, please. In reference to the Bible, I normally see these two terms like last days and then the end time. Is there really a difference in these two? And also, question number two. Like when you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, and Ephesians 3, 5, like Paul made mention of the word ages. I want to know how many ages do we have?
Okay. Yeah. The last days is talking about the time from the time Jesus came, time he came on earth, right to the time he was coming back. These are last days. It's more like, let's say, the going down of the sun. You know, the sun will go down, let's say, from there 5. So the last day starts from 5, going to the darkness and all that to maybe 12. So the end time, the end, is when we are really, when he's really coming. When we are really, but the last day started from that time. It shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And the last days were, all those days, these were last days, latter times. And then the ages, there is one more dispensation, but Paul talks about ages, eons, you know, referring to worlds. Or different times that will come after this earth. Maybe in eternity we'll have some ages, you know, you will have different levels of eternity. I don't really know. But he uses ages, like you said, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages he must show forth, you know, in the dispensations.
In the 3:5 he said which in other ages.
Okay, yeah, in other ages, referring to other dispensations. Yeah, like in the Old Testament and other, was not made known, but now it has been made known to the holy prophets and apostles. Yeah.
Daddy, this question may be out of context, but it's about children's ministry. One school of thought suggested that because of this statement Peter made that children should go away and all that. So during the time of the apostles, there wasn't any literal mention of children in the service. But along the way, like because we saw that, oh, we are going to church, where do the children be? And because of their troubles, we had something like children's ministry. Though, like, in any, but I just wanted to know more about that. Was there any references of children's ministry in the times of the apostles? Were they laying emphasis on children, or were children also being like baptized? Because Stephen's age, I can't really recall, but I think he was very young.
Stephen?
Yeah, the one that was stoned.
That's
what CF people taught us.
Yes. Yeah, you know something? Children were there. In the you know, Philip had four daughters who prophesied, and how did they? I mean, you know that they were raised in that environment. The Bible didn't really say that. Oh, and the apostles established children's ministry, but children were also there. Jesus Christ had given the commandment that don't let them come to me. So by all means, there were things that they organized for them, you know, for them to also grow. And it's very important. Children's ministry is very, very important. Very important. Because one way that the devil is really stealing people to hell is through children. Yes. And so God also wants to get the children at that age so that he can use them for a very long time. When you secure their destinies at that age, it's very, very important.
I think his emphasis was on the fact that was there anything like an organized meeting for them alone, or were they mingled? Because to him, he wanted to even collapse our church and then add them to, let's entertain their noise.
Okay. That's not a problem. You know, it's not a problem to, in the Old Testament, for instance, when they went for service, the children were part of the service. Yeah, they were part of the service with their parents, and they were observing everything. That's also very good. That's why the children must know the things we do, the things we believe in. We must teach them, explain to them why we do this, why we do that. For instance, if let's say you are at home, you must let them know what we believe as Christians. Why do we do communion? So at home, you must do communion for your children to also take part in communion. Okay, then you must teach them. We do communion because they say, okay, why do we pray? Do they see prayer in the home? They see prayer. Then they know what is prayer. We are training them in. That's how the Muslims also do. It's very important. Now, they also didn't have men's ministry, women's ministry in the church. It's not in the Bible. So why do they have men's ministry? There was no youth ministry also. But you see, we realize that people have, Paul told Timothy that the men, the women, the young men, young women, you see, and Paul said, children, obey your parents. So there were children in the church. And every one of these groups, they have specific needs. And so as time went on, God began to call people specifically for these groups. I know one pastor who is called for children. He finished the Hosa Bible School. He wanted to start a church. From the time he finished Bible school, any church he started, within 6 months, only children will be full of the church. The church will be full of children. Yes. So at first, he didn't know that it was a call. He was fighting it. But later on, he was made to understand. Then he stayed with children. So he went to a church, and they put him in charge of the children. And he did very well. Very, very well. He has over... 50 Good News Clubs. He came to Kumasi 2010. He handled like 50. Very effective in that area. Yeah, you may even know him because he goes to CF a lot. He was in Sunyan and then he came to Kumasi. Not Peter, somebody else. And he's doing very well with children. So, and we have different people who have been called for different people. Some are called for the youth, some are called for men, called for women, all in the body. Yes. So it's legitimate. Okay. Was that your question?
Daddy, please, when we go to, now that we are holy and righteous, what must we do? One of the points you said, be holy. So my question is, what can we do to be holy if we are already holy?
Okay. Yeah. So he said that be holy even as I am holy. It simply means show, manifest. Manifest holiness. Show holiness. Because you are holy. I get me. Manifest it. Let it show. Bear the fruit of it. For instance, one of the ways that you can demonstrate holiness is when you don't follow that world. Separate from the world. When you don't follow them. Paul said that men shall be unholy in the end. They shall be unholy. 2 Timothy 3 said men shall be unholy. So we separate ourselves from worldly things. Then we demonstrate holiness. Even though we are holy, we have the nature of Christ. We must let it come out and let it show.
Okay, Daddy. Please, I want to ask a question on about the death of Jesus on the cross. And that is, I want to ask that, why is it that Jesus have to die on the cross, not like hanging him on a tree or any other means of, yeah, and then the cross itself, the path that is the cross, is there any interpretation of it? And if it is, maybe you help me too.
Okay. Jesus died on the cross. Well, the Bible actually says he died on the tree. When you read, let me read some scriptures to you. Come to 1 Peter. First Peter. Chapter 2:24. Said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live righteousness. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Then another one is in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on the tree. So he said that Christ became a curse because he hung on the tree, was in the tree. Now, the cross is also a tree, like it's a wooden structure. So, but the real interpretation is that he died on the tree. Like I said, man hid among the trees, so he came and died on the tree. And the reason why God brought him at the time when the cross was in operation because of that. And at that time, the cross was a means of killing criminals. The most hardened of criminals, they crucified them. Yeah, so that's how God wanted Jesus to die, the most painful death. Yes, so he came at that time. Then also, the cross in its symbol simply means that the eye has been canceled. You see, the eye has been canceled. This, his hand, his head, his feet. Are you following? When you look at the tabernacle of Israel, you will see that they camped around the tabernacle. Some camped on the north, some camped on the east, some camped on the west, some camped on the south. And it was just a picture of Christ and the cross. If you observe, observe it from above, you see the tabernacle is like this. Because some are camping here, 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 here. That's the picture of the cross. That's the same picture that God allowed him to carry on his head, on his shoulder, and he died on it. Also, another meaning to the cross is I will is cancel. So this is I will, and this is God's will. The point of intercession is your cross. So when you meet God's will and you lay aside your will, you've carried your cross. He said, carry your cross and follow me daily. So every day you must die to your will and live for God's will. Now the cross is a principle. People sometimes carry wooden crosses and they say that it's a symbol of Christianity. No, no, it's not a symbol of Christianity. That it's a principle. Yes, it's not wrong to wear a cross, but it doesn't mean anything to wear a cross, you know. And don't wear the cross with Jesus on, the crucifix, because he's not on the cross anymore. The Catholics always want to put him on the cross, but he has left the cross long ago. So that symbol, that is standing for, now it's you who must carry your cross, not his cross. Yes, you must carry your cross. He carried his cross, so you too carry your own. You understand? Yeah.
I also want to ask a funny question, and that is the song that you say, maybe it is not biblical. Once I was a sinner.
Okay. Yeah, I'm listening.
Once I was a sinner saved by grace. And you were saying that it is not biblical. Mm-hmm. I want to get more of it.
Well, yes, what I'm saying is that if you look at the new creation, and the new creation doesn't have any record in front of God that this person was this or was that. Once I was a sinner saved by grace, it means that that's not what the new creation does have. He has taken every record and wiped every record against us. So there's no history. That's the point. I'm not saying it's wrong to sing. No, it's not wrong to sing. It's not wrong. We've been singing it, you know, it's not wrong. And is it from your point, from our point, we can say that, okay. But from God's point, it's not true. From our point, we can still say, oh, I was in the world and I came to God. So once I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. But from God's point, God says, look, I don't even remember that you were a sinner. I've wiped out all the charges against you. So you are just a baby, a new baby. Just grow. That's all.
Thank you, Daddy. My last question is on the kingdom of God. Please, Daddy, I want you to help me with this. The kingdom of God, heaven. My tears are escaping me. The kingdom of God, heaven. Oh, okay. You help me with that too. Maybe if I. When I get it, I'll add it later.
The kingdom of heaven, no?
No, only the kingdom of God, heaven, yeah. Where man will, let me say, the final home of man.
Oh, yeah. And the new heaven, new earth.
Yeah, and the new Jerusalem, thank you.
Okay, the kingdom of God, as you are talking about in that context, is referring to the reign of Christ. The 1,000-year reign of Christ, when we are going to experience his reign for 1,000 years. That's where we have the literal manifestation of the kingdom of God, the righteousness, peace, and joy that we experience in that 1,000-year reign. Yes. Now, before then, now the kingdom of God is in our hearts. is in our hearts. It's in us. It's in our hearts. And we are also in the kingdom. That's different from heaven. Heaven is the headquarters of the kingdom at the moment. So heaven is like headquarters. The kingdom is everywhere that God's influence reaches. That's where his kingdom is. So now, in our hearts, he's king. And in under your sphere of influence, he can also be king. But physically, he will impose his kingdom when he comes to rule. And the new Jerusalem is also a place that one, it will come down. It will come down, and the saints will live there. When Jesus comes, that would take me to. Let me just give you a scripture, and then maybe it will come to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. When he comes, before he comes, this world will change. He will remove the curse that God placed on this earth, and this world will change. Yeah. So, in that sense, he will establish his kingdom. In that kingdom, even unbelievers will still be around, and some of them will still enjoy, you know, benefits of that kingdom. Just that they cannot be part of it, just as unbelievers are going to be also excluded. But the heavenly Jerusalem will come down when there's a new heaven and a new earth. After the 1,000 years, he will set up his throne and judge the unbelievers. Then he will condemn, they'll go to hell. Then Satan too will go to hell, will be cast in the lake of fire. Satan will go there, the Antichrist will go there first. Then Jesus will come, and they will bind Satan for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years is due, Jesus will judge the unbelievers. Then they will go to hell. Then when the 1,000 years is come to an end, Satan will come and fight. He will be released, and he will come and fight the Lord and his saints. Jesus will live on this earth here. He will live in Jerusalem on Mount Olives. Then they will come and fight the Lord. And there will be some saints also there. Come and fight. Then Satan will be arrested and thrown in the lake of fire. Then Jesus will judge those who are dead, unbelievers who are dead. The sea will bring them up and all that. He will judge them. Then he will cast them in the lake of fire. Then he will destroy this whole heaven and earth with fire. Then the new heaven and new earth will come. The new Jerusalem will descend and come into the new earth. And the saints will live there forever. So man's final abode is going to be earth. So let me just read. If you go read Revelation 20, the whole 20. Yeah, it's clear. The whole 20 is clear. Then from 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. See, so this is where now no sin, no devil is there, or only the saints. The New Jerusalem, which is being repaired in the spirit, will now come down, and the saints will be with God. No, it's different. It's different. You see, what Jesus is going to experience in the kingdom, millennial kingdom, 1,000 years, is not the New Jerusalem. That one is this earth, but it will be transformed. We'll have peace. There will not be any curse. He will take away the curse. The earth will be like Garden of Eden. It will flourish. There will be peace, total peace, prosperity, abundance, everything, no sickness. Even the sinners there, Bible says that a sinner who is accursed will be 100 years old. You understand? Because at that time, there will be some people who have not died to go to hell. Who may be there? Then, but those who have died, they will resurrect after 1,000 years. Okay, if you have time, then we can read the whole of Revelation 20. it will really make it clear. Just take your time and read it. Then 21 will make it clearer.
Nadi, please, can I ask the question?
Yeah, you can.
Nadi, please, I would like to know what actually makes, or what are the components of a good and quality sermon, or how to prepare a sermon?
Okay. How to prepare a sermon or a message? Because for sermons, you can go to, okay, now let's see how you bring out the teaching.
Yeah,
because the reason why I asked that was because that now we have sermon outlines that people prepare and you look through and then you can use it to preach and all that. Yeah, but the message should be from the Spirit of God into your spirit, into the spirit of the hearers. And that one comes as a result of inspiration. Okay. We have basic teaching. For instance, when you start a ministry or a church and it's full of new converts, new convert church, you don't just come and say that every Sunday I have to wait on God and see what I must teach. There must be systematic delivery of doctrine, teaching, where you must first of all teach the people now repentance from dead works, how they can escape from the dead works, talk about water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, talk about the lordship of Jesus Christ, how Christians must live, and all that, talk about money. There are teachings that are for new converts. Uh-huh. But assuming that it's not just new converts, but it's just you are going to preach somewhere and you pray, then you ask God, what do you want me to say? Or they give you a theme. Talk about love. Okay, so you pray. Then if the message is you're going to preach on Sunday, right from Monday, you start searching your heart. You pray to God, start searching your heart for the love, what is about love. Then, what does the Bible say about love? Okay, now, the New Testament, what is love? The Old Testament, what is love? You are dividing the word of truth. Okay, this New Testament, love, how does it appear? How do we see the love? Uh-huh. After you've gathered all these facts, then you come to, okay, how do I present the message to them? How do I introduce it? So introduction, what is my introduction? Maybe my introduction may be a scripture or maybe something that I will say that will bring their minds to the message or say anything. Then this point one, God is love. Point two, we are children of love, Ephesians 5. Point three, we must show love. How do we show love? Practical ways of showing love. Care for somebody, serve somebody, forgive somebody, love. If you don't show love, what will happen? What will happen if you show love? You see? So there's no formula for preparing it. But as you meditate on the word, you jot down your points. Sometimes you'll be jotting down your points, and when you finish, then you can arrange the points well. Because you must know what is love before you talk about maybe how love comes. If you know what is love, when can you know that you have love. What is love? Then certain things, you start with definitions. Certain things, so you just start and then you minister. But there's a point to where God will just be giving you inspiration to preach that preach. Maybe you get to a place, you don't know you're going to preach. They call you. As a man of God, you have to be thoroughly finished to understand that at that point, it's not that you are going to maybe, I don't have my notes here. No, once you stand there and believe God, you see that God will give you something to share with them. A scripture may come, share with them or something. Sometimes too, God can give you specific topics. Sometimes he will give you dreams that will throw light on something. Then you will know that this is what he wants me to teach or preach about. Sometimes you may hear something from somebody, you know, a statement, and it will all of a sudden explode in your mind in different directions. Then you know that, no, this, I have to talk about this, or I have to do a research about this. But by way of training and practice, you can do this. Whenever you are there, you start to prepare a message. I remember when we were growing, in our church, they will not tell you you are going to preach. As we gather here, say, we call, bra, you come and share something with us. Then you come and then you stand there and you say, so we were told to always prepare. When you're coming for a meeting, prepare a message that you will preach. In case they call you, what are you going to say? And as you do that, you see that you have many, many things to share. You buy books. I have teacher's notebook. Books. I have many of them. The small ones, I have like 12. Yes. And I have foolscap four. And they are all full of messages I've prepared. In fact, some of them I've never preached before. And these days too, I don't even look through them. Yeah, but I know one day, I know as time goes, I will be preaching them. But some of them, most of them, I used to preach them when I was youth president. Yeah, so when you prepare like that, it becomes part of your habit. Then when you are called upon, you will not be found wanting. Yeah.
I remember during Jesus' earthly ministry, like, he made mention of, I don't really recall it, like, the verse, but he told the disciples about his kingdom. He used the phrase, my kingdom.
Yeah.
So I would like to know, like, is it that, like, Jesus has his own kingdom and the Father has his own kingdom?
Yeah. Let me read 1 Corinthians 6. The thing is, he was saying that my kingdom is not of this world. Isn't that what you're saying? My kingdom is not of this world.
They're taking the last supper, the Lord's supper.
Okay. Yeah. It's his kingdom. At the same time, it's the Father's kingdom. It's his kingdom. At the same time, it's the Father's kingdom. Jesus, the Son and the Father, they are one. Yeah, but there's also a distinction in the sense that when we say the kingdom of God, we are talking about the rulership of God from eternity to eternity. Okay. But Jesus was talking about my kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. My kingdom is not of this world, it's of above. Heaven. Basically, they are the same thing. But there's a period where Jesus is ruling within the kingdom of God, where it is his era ruling. Yes. Like the 1,000 years, for instance, Jesus is ruling. But you see, it is also God ruling. God, in Isaiah 40 verse 10, he said, Behold, I come, and my reward is with me. Isaiah 40 verse 10. You know, in Revelation 22 or something too, he said the same thing. In Isaiah, it was God who was talking. He said, Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arms shall rule for him. His reward is with him. You know, but in Revelation 22, Jesus also said, I come quickly. My reward is with me. So who really is coming? Yes, they are the same.
Daddy, please. You said there was a time that mommy went to buy hair and you prayed over it.
Yeah.
So I want to know, this Christian women who want to go into such business, and most of them like make wigs and also the hair, deal with the hair. See, people will be bringing such hair. So how is it good to go into such business, or how are you supposed to, if it's good, how are you supposed to?
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that business. But yes, that as a Christian, you must be led by the Spirit. And you, sometimes when you feel a check, and you see, once you are always praying and all that, so there are certain things that they may, as soon as they even touch your hand, they may even leave. If God does not prompt you or open your eyes to see anything, don't worry, just lay hands and pray, that's all. Because some of them, as soon as they touch your hand, they leave. Yeah, as a believer. And sometimes God will just prompt you. No, don't. It's like food. You know, I went to buy roasted plantain and gallots. And I just went and I bought it. And I just came and I was eating. Then I was with a friend who was a prophet. Then when he came, he went there, then he stood there, then he came back. I said, why? He said, I saw that this thing is not real plantain. I said, really? I said, really? He said, oh, yes. I said, oh, okay. I was eating it. I mean, God didn't open my eyes to see that it was not plantain. Me, at first I know it's plantain, so I just prayed, I ate it, nothing happened to me. But if God opened your eyes to see, then you eat, something will happen to you. So maybe it was real, true, but me, it didn't prompt me to. I just bought it, I just ate, prayed, ate it, and that's all. we are eating so many things.
So Daddy, to go into a particular business, you have to, God has to touch you, or you have to wait on God, or based on His wisdom.
Yeah, those decisions, we always have to pray and ask God to direct us. In the first place, not every business will help anybody. There are some people who go into certain business and they will go and make losses. It won't help them. If you have a relationship with God, you ask God, God will direct you. Yeah, that this, do this or do that, do that.
Daddy, I want you to help me on this. You said man was not made for heaven at the first place. And I don't know whether you are tracing to after the fall of man or even in the beginning.
In the beginning, yeah. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and God puts man on earth. He didn't put man in heaven. Why? Okay. Okay. No question anymore. Okay. Why? But we have no clues. We have like 3 more hours. So if you don't ask the question, we will sit here and then we'll just. Okay. Now, we are going to pray. Let's pray. Let's begin to pray in the spirit. Koli bahatala matoshida. Kodi prede kato ni mahasi. Kori mandele vekokozi brototos. Mantoko bolozantala mahatis. I kato no mahasali antakata. I bratoto mratata. Surianta la macatos, copa talama de bratolomo cozicete, lo catana mataze croborobos, imaramandaca malavalavalavalavas, ibaramaco de alamalambas, imaramacano robos, siriandara, vicoco manamanda valia dabas, imariata la macozito lomolos. In the name of Jesus, we are praying for the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that God should release that spirit on us. Even as we've come to this place, God should impart that spirit of wisdom and understanding, that God will grant us insight into the word. Let's begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Bahatana Malabas. Ebratana Matolo Makose. Ibana Makotana Malaba. Repatalaba Kasu Talayandis. Mandolo Bokose Talamalabas. Imara Makadosi Norobalas. Repatala makatala malabas. Repala malasuni andarabas. E caravalde rebalabas. Valiatana malaco zedides. Rapala yandibara balabas. E brada balabatara balabas. Aliandara bako kimalabas. Robala yandara malianabas. Ibara makatala ba. Oriatana malabalaba. Imara mako zedides. Mande rebe kozere balaba, bale yakori yanda na balaba, kori yana balaba, kuki balaba kuki sana mabat, imana mande balaba kozere be, ramana mande balaba kana balaba ba, ikori yana balaba ba, anoint us with the spirit of wisdom, with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, in the knowledge of you, in the knowledge of you, wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord. Kuli alabas sudan. Ika alabalabalabas. Imana mandabalabalabas. Kuli antalabalabas. Eita alabakata alabalabas. Ina alamako danabalabas site. Ika alabalabalabako alabaha. Oki kawaku kikeke. Oshana manabas siriyanda. Eita alamaka suriyanda. Eko robosi anabalababa. We are praying for the release of grace in every aspect of our lives, that God should grant grace, release grace. Let grace abound. Let grace abound. Let grace be released out of our spirits in the name of Jesus. Grant us grace, O God, in the name of Jesus. Grace in the name of Jesus. Koriatana Malabas, We are praying this prayer. We are praying for Todd Beres, and of Christ, Volta region. There, somebody gave them a land, and they were going to put up a temporary structure, but there has been some opposition and people are threatening and all that. So we are lifting them before God that let God answer, because the land was given to them, it was legitimate. The person said, we can use it for this period and you can put up this temporary structure. So we are asking that the hand of God will be favorable towards them and that God will prevail for them. In the name of Jesus. Let's sit down. We've come to the end of the minister's retreat, and there are some few things that we want to do. We want to set some committees, and I want to, for those committees to do certain, carry out certain assignments in the ministry. So, Elijah, do you have it? Okay, so there are certain committees that are in place already, but we want to form these committees also, and the ministers, so that we have people serving the committee, and then they can carry on with certain responsibilities of the ministry, because we believe that as we go along, there are certain things that must be offloaded from the pastors to the ministers.